This is on section 3, section 0.3, algebraic functions. This is the second audio recording connected to that section, and we're just going to briefly discuss rational functions and absolute value functions, along with some tips for the homework. Okay, so a rational function is just like a polynomial function, except it's a ratio of two polynomial functions, right, or a fraction. Turning to definition 16, you could see that here it's a function. You've got a polynomial on top, a polynomial on the bottom. And of course, it also goes on to give this extra condition that it's defined for any x such that the q of x is not equal to 0. Namely, that the denominator, the polynomial in the denominator, is not equal to 0. What that means, so, you know, if you think about it, you really don't want 0 to be in the denominator of the function because the function just wouldn't be defined. Now, you could see this with some of the figures below that definition. For example, we see that in the second example, the g of x, you have x minus 1 is a factor of the denominator. So that means the denominator has 1 as a root. And, of course, the closer the x gets to 1, the smaller and smaller that denominator gets in g of x. But as the denominator gets smaller and smaller, you're kind of dividing this kind of quantity on top by something really, 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 really tiny. The many reallys was just to emphasize how tiny that is. And so you could see the function gets, you know, arbitrarily large, whether it's positive or negative. It gets very large when x gets close to 1. That's really kind of what that asymptote is conveying. Now, note also in that same example, g of x, it also has what's called a hole at x equal to 3, and that's because 3 is a factor of the denominator, but then it's also a factor of the numerator as well. What we kind of want to do there is just cancel off one copy of x minus 3 from the denominator and the numerator, but we'll talk about that a little bit later as to why we can do that. But indeed we can do that, but for now we're just regarding it as a whole. Alright, moving on to theorem 17, it says that So first and foremost, f is not defined at q of x. Namely, it's not defined when the denominator is 0. And it's saying that f has roots at the points that are roots of the numerator, but not roots of the denominator. And then otherwise, if you have something that's roots of both the denominator and the numerator, but if there's more copies of that root in the numerator, then that's just considered what's considered a whole. Okay. And then theorem 18 just goes on to describe vertical and horizontal asymptotes. My tip here for reading theorem 18 is to refer back to the examples on the previous page 38 for f of x, g of x, and h of x. So read through that theorem and then see how it matches up with that previous example as well. G of x, f of x, g of x, and h of x from the previous page. All right. So that's my tip for reading that. All right. Moving on to absolute value functions. I would say absolute value functions they can be a little bit tricky if you don't pay careful attention. So starting with definition 19, it's just telling you that if you have a real number, then its absolute value is just like, you know, one way to think about it is that, you know, it's the magnitude or the size of the real number. It's distance away from zero. So again, here we're getting a multi-part function. We're saying the absolute value function of x. Well, just leave it as it is if the x is already greater than or equal to 0. But if it's negative, just change its sign. Now note, if the x is negative, by changing its sign, you're making it positive. You're taking the negative of a negative. So that's why we have that second condition there for when x is greater than 0. And now you also get this nice graph of what the absolute value function looks like. You could see it there. It's got that pointy bit at 0, right? Pointy, kind of non-smooth bit at 0. Now, definition 20. Now, you know, a nice way to think about definition 20 is that it's talking about the absolute value of a function. Now, it says here that if you have g of x, then it wants you to find the absolute value of g of x. One nice way to think about that is that you have a composition of two functions. First of all, you have g of x, and then you take the absolute value of that function. So you could really just define the absolute value of a function just as, you know, linguistically, or, you know, as the sentence suggests, just by taking g of x, evaluating it, and just taking its absolute value, and just taking the absolute value of the evaluation. So it's just saying, look, let g of x as it is whenever g of x is greater than or equal to 0. And the second part is that if g of x is less than 0, then change the sign on front of the g of x. That will make, of course, the negative into a positive. Okay. And graphically, you could see this on the next page. We have a nice simple function, g of x equal to 2x minus 1. You can draw the function itself. You could see it's greater than, looking at the leftmost picture, you could see it's greater, the height of the function is greater than 0 when x is greater than or equal to 1/2. And when it's less than 1/2, the height of the function is going to be less than 0. So you're going to flip that then, right? You're going to flip that part of that line above the x-axis then. Okay. So let's go and look at some nice examples from here. Let me maybe just go to the exercises instead. Right. So we have some exercises here circled. A nice one to look at. You know, I should have said this in the last audio recording maybe, is first of all, maybe look at exercise 11, asking you to use the quadratic formula. It's just really just asking you to, you know, recall what the quadratic formula is and why that function there in question is irreducible. All right. Moving on then, we're going to go on to 46. Now, 46 looks a little bit unusual, but here is my suggestion for solving this. 46 is x to the 4 minus 6x squared plus 9. Now, that looks like it's degree 4, doesn't it? And it is degree 4. But a nice way to think about it is that think about it as being x squared, which is the x to the 4 term, minus 6 times x squared to the power of 1 plus 9. So it's kind of like a quadratic, except instead of your x term, you have an x squared term. So it's a quadratic and x squared. So if you can, so that means you could solve this quadratic using the quadratic formula, and then set your solutions equal to x squared and consequently solve for x. So that's my small tip there for 46. It's an unusual case, but it does pop up a little bit later. 53 is a nice example of graphing a function. You could see that you have x minus 3 common to both the numerator and the denominator. Likewise, x plus 2. The question there is if you're going to get any asymptotes or just holes and where the roots are. And similarly for 54, take care to draw the asymptotes. Note that x equal to 1 would be a hole because x minus 1 is present in equal degree above and below the line. Let's see. Finally then, you know, pay careful attention to 73 through 80. I know that looks like a lot of work, right? But let's maybe pick 76 as an example. Start off by drawing x squared minus 4. Now, when you draw that, you'll see that you have roots at negative 2 and 2. So you'll get a parabola that has roots at negative 2 and 2. Now, the picture that you're getting, notice that the parabola is going to be negative between minus 2 and 2, and it's going to be positive outside of being between minus 2 and 2, namely from minus 2 way off to minus infinity, and from 2 to infinity, it's going to be positive. So you can leave those parts well alone. And then the part from minus 2 to 2 is what you want to be kind of flipping above the x-axis, right? And last but not least, you want to draw, you want to also be able to describe it as a piecewise function as well. Just like you did back in example 4, actually. Example 4 is very helpful to look at once again. In fact, example 4 is very like exercise 76. I hope I haven't spoiled your fun by saying that. Forgive me if I have. Okay, and I'm going to stop at that. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.